You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. 13 years ago today, Phoenix police officer Jason Scheckerly's Ford Crown Victoria patrol car was rear-ended by a taxi and burst into flames. He was trapped in the car for 8 minutes and left with severe burns, and after more than 50 surgeries, he's still recovering. Jason and his co-author Landon J. Napoleon recount the story in the book Burning Shield. They'll be talking about the book and signing copies Friday night at 7 at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe, and they join me now in studio. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Steve, for having us.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Jason, I think people want to know how you're feeling physically and mentally right now.
Physically, I'm feeling great, as healthy and as can be. I haven't experienced pain in a great number of years, very, very healthy. And mentally, couldn't be better. I love every part of my life. I look forward to every day, and I'm a better person for everything that I've gone through.
How long did it take to get to that point? We're talking 13 years after the accident. So even as an optimistic guy, how long did it take you to get to that point?
I'd say the toughest part was the first year, the first 12 months, and it's interesting that today is the anniversary, and 13 years, I don't think much of it. It's just kind of another day, but that first anniversary was the interesting little box that I had to get out of. When I woke up March 27th of 2002, made great strides after that, so that was the mental part. Going back to work, having another child, there's been a lot of big moments in my life and my journey that have kept me moving forward.
Are those the biggest moments? Talking about getting back to work, having another child, having your family support you like that?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, the family support, the friend support, I was very blessed that I had a job that was covered in the media and gave the public a chance. You know, we live in a great community. I really can't imagine, had this happened anywhere else in the country, the Valley here, it's kind of like being in a small town, and the support and love that I felt has been tremendous. So all those things, and then, yeah, going back to work, I mean, I loved my job, and I wanted to get back. Took me 18 months, but I did get back, and that helped a lot in my recovery.
You've obviously changed physically.
Yes.
How much have you changed mentally and emotionally? Are you a stronger person, a better person?
I think I'm a stronger person emotionally. I think I enjoy humor a lot more. I like to not take things too seriously. And more, the strength comes more from understanding and appreciating adversity. This, you know, my overall story, when you really look at it, when you really read this book, the fact that I was a police officer and the fact that I was burned and disfigured, those are the two least important parts of this. We all face adversity, and it's been 13 years. That's old news for me.
Okay.
Now I'm going through what everybody goes through on a daily basis. And so I'm hopeful when people read the book, they will understand how they can get through their own.
You are the epitome of the example of the phrase, putting things in perspective, because people get up, oh, my back hurts, oh, my stomach hurts. And then here you are, all these years later, you know, because a lot of people might have just curled up into a ball. So what were some of the things that kept you strong going through all this?
Family, being a father is, there's nothing like it, and you don't want to take that for granted or be willing to give that up. I was very lucky. Never once did I wish that I didn't survive that accident. It would have been a lot easier to not have survived versus what I was facing, but I was always very thankful and very blessed. You know, the work that the firefighters did that night, the doctors, you got to give them all the credit in the world. I'm not where I'm at today because of me. Every piece of the puzzle was in place for me to be supported and to be able to survive this.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with Jason Scheckerly and Landon J. Napoleon. The new book is called Burning Shield. Landon, how did you guys get together on this? And how much research went into what happened, but also how do you gain Jason's trust? How long did that take? I mean, a subject sometimes is eager to tell the story, sometimes they're not.
Jason and I have a mutual friend, Pat McGroder, a local plaintiff's attorney. And Pat actually represented Jason in his case against Ford. And I've known Pat for probably a decade now. And I knew of Jason, I knew of his story. But surprisingly, over these last 9 years, I'd never met him. And for whatever reason, it finally came together about 15 months ago. Pat said, hey, Jason wants to do this book. And I said, great, let's set up a meeting. So the three of us met. And for me, probably after 45 seconds or so, something clicked. And I said, I absolutely have to write this story. Mm. And I don't know what that was or why that was. And, you know, as far as getting comfortable, I think Jason had kind of a similar kind of immediate response that, oh, yeah, I think this is going to work. And so we just dived in, and most of my initial, well, all of my initial interviews were with Jason. Yeah. Spent many, many, many hours primarily at his house. He makes a good cup of coffee. And we just went through the whole thing, and then he put me in touch with his police contacts, doctors, legal. That's one of the things that's so fascinating about this book is there's so many different timelines and storylines that interweave together. And this is the 14th book I've written. And it's been one of those projects that's just had that magic pixie dust.
Now, Jason's being humble. What's the most amazing thing that you've discovered about spending all this time with him and about reliving the story of what happened, not just 13 years ago, but what happened with all the surgeries and all the stuff that he had to go through? What amazes you most about what he's been through?
He mentioned his sense of humor. And I think sometimes people are hesitant when they're around Jason. They're not quite sure what they can or can't say. And they're very respectful and treat things delicately. But I think sense of humor really stands out. And just one thing to share, and this is in the book, but he would joke with family and friends and say, hey, maybe I could get a job for a cigarette company. I could do an ad about the dangers of smoking in bed. And to be able to make light of what he's gone through, I think really speaks to who he is and what's helped him get through this.
Jason, I don't want to belabor this, but we talked about your spirit inside, your sense of humor, but also in the book, there's mention of the fact that you do the motivational speaking, but you don't talk to young kids. You don't take the family to Disneyland. I mean, you're strong, but is that hurtful in any way, this idea that people looking at the outside as opposed to how you've grown on the inside?
It's not so much hurtful. I try to respect other people's feelings. This is, my appearance is not something you see every day, and I do believe that it can be disruptive, especially to children. That coupled with, I put myself out there, and I love to do the motivational speaking, and I travel. I'm in strange airports all the time, but I still live in a somewhat protective bubble. I only go grocery shopping at the same store every time. I go to the same places for lunch or dinner when I go out. So it's my own, you know, I know what brings me anxiety and stress, and I'm in touch with that, and I'm okay with that. It's part of my permanent adversity is my appearance. I'm always going to deal with that. So I protect myself in the ways that I need to, but especially with kids, you just have to respect that they've got young minds and they're resilient. They get over it, especially when you can talk to them. But I usually don't talk to kids in a formal group setting under seventh grade.
You wanted to be a police officer. I mean, you really wanted to be a police officer and went through a lot of effort to get it.
Yes.
Were you hit hard by the irony when you couldn't do it for a while because of this freak accident, and then you worked so hard to get back to it? Did you feel gypped at first?
I never felt gypped. I was sad. I was disappointed. And even through today, when I see some of my closest friends or guys that I went to the academy with, and I see where they're at in their career, it's sometimes fun to daydream, but it's hard to explain, but I really would not change anything about where I'm at. I believe there's some very good reasons of why the events of March 26, 2001 took place.
Yeah.
And I'm completely okay with those reasons. And, you know, if it wasn't for this, I don't think my youngest son would have the life he has. And I'm going to coach his baseball game today. And to make those memories, to see his little face and think, yeah, it's all completely worth it. Perspective is an easy thing when you're dealing with emotions of fatherhood or things like that. So no, I don't feel gypped.
And the concept of destiny is really ever present in this book. Is that a theme you guys both hit on together?
Yes. Landon, this has been a very sensitive, intimate journey for me to get this story out there. In some ways, you know, I want to pay it forward. I want other people to benefit with overcoming their adversity. But if this book never sells a copy, it's a legacy for my kids, and I'm incredibly proud. Landon was definitely the right person to tell this. The way he wrote this has been incredible for me. I've laughed, I've cried, I've relived things that I had forgotten. And he came up with kind of the themes about how we're going to tie in what's happened to other police officers across the country with these rear and fuel-fed fires, and how he portrayed my work to become a police officer, and how I view family and friends and life in general. It's captured in these pages. I give him all the credit in the world. He did that.
Landon, did you laugh and cry when you were writing it?
I still laugh and cry. Jason and I were just in Baltimore about a week ago, and I listened to him speak, and I still get teary. Even sitting here listening to him, and when you asked him the question, did you feel gypped, I keep thinking, wait, you had to feel gypped, and you had to feel self-pity, and he's got some amazing gene that I think not a lot of people have.
Has it changed your perspective on life?
Yeah, it has. And when you talked about you wake up and, oh, my back hurts and my internet's not buffering fast enough, and you say, wait a minute, those things don't matter. Absolutely.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A few more minutes left with Jason Schechterle and Landon J. Napoleon. Their new book is Burning Shield. You can see them Friday night at 7 at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. Jason, let's talk a little bit more about your family, if you don't mind.
Okay.
When you get married to someone, you have certain expectations. Obviously, you had a family.
Yes.
How did it change, if at all, your relationship with your wife when you go from being partner, lover, and then in many ways she was a caregiver for a while?
Yes, for a very long time. I mean, I needed, when I was in the hospital for 5 months, and when I come home, it's kind of like being a little kid when things change. I had deformities to my hands. I was 100% blind back then. You know, there's no way I'm going to drive. I'm not the member of society that I used to be going back to work. So yeah, she had to sacrifice her career at the time and be my caretaker on top of being a mom. And, you know, you see stories on the news all the time, and you just know that a year from now, that couple's not going to be together anymore. I mean, marriage is hard enough between a man and a woman, let alone throw in some life-changing adversity. But when you stand up and say your vows, the for better or worse, sometimes the or worse part will come. And, you know, I give her a lot of credit for having the understanding that that's just the way it is. And, you know, today, if you were flying a wall in my house, you'd never know anything life-changing took place. It's just very normal routine, raise a kid, do what you're supposed to do. And I give her all the respect and credit in the world for understanding that. And she has her new career now. She's a school teacher, and she's paying it forward to all the young minds out there, and it's been beautiful.
I think people need to know more about your eyes, because that is one of those things that you've come back from, but there's still work being done on your eyes.
The eyes will be a constant battle. I don't know really what the future holds. I was, you know, a lot of damage to the corneas, and I was completely blind for a long time. But the doctors, one eye doctor in particular here in the Valley, is just absolutely the best at what he does, Dr. Bill McLeish. And he got me to where I was back at work 18 months later, and I'm driving a car, I'm reading or writing reports on a computer, I'm investigating intricate homicide scenes. And, you know, I have issues with my eyes. I wear four contact lenses, two in each eye, soft lenses to protect my cornea, specially made hard lenses, so that I drove here today, I'm going to drive home. When I take those contacts out tonight, yeah, I don't see very well. And I showed up in his office last May, and he took me straight into surgery and sewed one of my eyes shut. He doesn't mess around when it comes to my eyesight. It was not a great day, but it took about a month. I healed from that, and I'm back to where I'm at today.
Have you been past the site of the accident? I mean, are there any memories, or is that just a spot now?
You know, it's funny. I drive through it quite a bit because it's right, you know, Central Phoenix, 20th Street and Thomas. And just on Monday, I was driving my son and three of his friends to a baseball game at St. Agnes, and we drove right through the intersection. And I thought, oh, nostalgia, I'll tell the story. And my son's real into it, my 11-year-old. And so I stopped the kids in the back seat, and I said, hey, guys, and I'm pointing to the lane I was sitting in and where I was hit, where the car stopped and on fire, where the fire truck was sitting. And, you know, they're 11. They were like, that's a great story. Can we go back to talking about what we were talking about? But I do drive through it, and it's never a bad memory. It's more of an interest because I was unconscious, and I like to try to picture what those firefighters were doing and how intense it must have been for them, the work and the bravery they showed, the two police officers on the scene that night. It's more of just a neat story for me as compared to any trepidation about being there.
Landon, finally, what are your hopes for the book? As you said, you've written 14 books now. You know, is there talk of a movie?
Let's not get carried away.
I think this would be an incredible movie. Actually, we're hoping Matthew McConaughey, fresh on the heels of his Dallas Buyers Club.
To anybody Oscar. Listening to this, Landon is a dreamer. So,
but Mark Twain said that truth is, or fiction is stranger than truth. And Jason's story, you couldn't script it if you tried. And it almost seems implausible. And I think that's why it is so inspiring. There was such a chronology of events that had to happen for him to be sitting with us here 13 years later.
Jason, finally, any words of advice for those of us who whine about our sore backs or our sore throats or anything?
Well, I will tell you that whatever adversity you're facing, even if it's something as simple as your internet's not working today or your back hurts, I still get upset about those things. It's don't ever minimize it, and just try to remember that life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. You can never let the pain of today blind you from the promise of tomorrow. This is a beautiful life, and just keep living it the best you can.
Jason Schachterly and Landon J. Napoleon. The new book is called Burning Shield. You can see them at Changing Hands Bookstore Friday night at 7. Guys, a pleasure to talk with both of you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.